רב, מה אנחנו לומדים? מאמר השלום או חובת בני ברוך כלפי האנושות?
Of what are we learning? The peace or Nebuch's duty to the world?
The peace.
The peace. Okay. So we are learning the article, The Peace. You can watch the lesson and ask questions on our site. And we are learning the article, The Peace. The peace. An empirical scientific research about the necessity of the work of the Creator. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And it shall come to pass on that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people, who shall be left from Ashur and from Egypt, from Patros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamat and from the islands of the sea. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta said, the Lord did not find a vessel to hold a blessing for Israel, but peace. Israel said, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. After having demonstrated in previous articles the general form of his work, whose essence is nothing more or nothing less than the love of others, practically determined as bestowal upon others, meaning that the actual manifestation of love of others is bestowal of goodness upon others. Love of others should therefore be determined as bestowal upon others, which is best suited for its content, aiming to ensure that we do not forget the intention.
המוכשר ביותר לתוכנה המכוון, להבטיח לנו שלא נשכח את הכוון.
Promise us that we won't forget the intentions.
Now that we know for certain the conduct of his work, there still remains to inquire whether we accept this work on faith alone, without any scientific empirical basis, or do we also have an empirical basis for it? This is what I want to prove in the essay before us. But first, I must thoroughly prove the subject itself, meaning who it is who accepts our work. But I am not an enthusiast of formative philosophy, since I dislike theoretically based studies. And it is well known that most of my contemporaries agree with me, for we are too familiar with such foundations, which are rickety foundations, and when the foundation fluctuates, the whole building tumbles. Therefore, I have come here to speak only through critique of empirical reason, beginning from the simple recognition no one disagrees with, through proving analytically, separating the various elements in an issue, until we come to determine the uppermost topic. And it will be tested synthetically, the connection and unity between matters, such as inference, and the all the more so, how his work is confirmed and reaffirmed by simple recognition from the practical aspect.
If you have any questions, please. For now, he didn't really say anything. He just came closer to the topic. He didn't start speaking about the peace yet. PT19.
Good morning, Walt. Basically, Baal HaSulam says, therefore, I came here to speak only from critique of empirical reason, meaning from his own experience. So if you try to understand, what does it mean from his own internality that he was trying to understand?
We're not philosophers speaking about abstract things, and only from clear attainment that I can criticize and also check through others, but it's in a clear way and not in any fantasies and philosophies.
So we don't need to talk too much also because we don't understand what it's about?
I'll be really happy to see that thing in you.
So we have to get experience?
No, that you speak less.
Oh, that.
Okay. I have PT9.
What is he trying to prove? What does it mean to prove the necessity of his work?
I don't know. We'll see it in the article. He wants to prove, you see, a scientific research based on research that you must serve the Creator, meaning that working the Creator is something that is obligated for us to do in a scientific way through research from the nature of our life. We have to work in such a way. So, let's see. Maybe we don't understand. Maybe we're disconnected from reality. Because he's saying it's science, it's experience, it's an obligation. Look what he writes. He takes a lot upon himself, maybe too much here, to such an extent.
Is he speaking of a proof on a corporeal basis?
We'll see, but I guess so. He says it's through experience.
So how does it not contradict everything we learn about the concealment, the necessity to conceal the Creator?
We'll study the article, and maybe this time we'll understand it, okay? Ita 4. What do you want?
Che cosa significa che Dio non ha trovato il vaso per mantenere le benedizioni per Israele ma la pace?
What does it mean that the Creator couldn't find a vessel that can contain the abundance except in the people of Israel?
Guys, let's read the article and we'll start understanding who it is. Because also in your definition, the nation of Israel, it's like he's speaking about some group. Let's see what he says. We'll see. Keep going.
Header, contradictions in providence. Every reasonable person who examines the reality before us finds two complete opposites in it. When examining creation, its reality and conducts, there is an apparent and affirmed leadership of great wisdom and skill. One, both regarding the formation of reality, and two, the securing of its existence in general. Let us take the making of a human being as an example. The love and pleasure of their progenitors is its first reason, guaranteed to perform its duty. When the essential drop is extracted from the father's brain, Providence has very wisely secured a safe place for it, which qualifies it to receive life. Providence also gives it its daily bread in the exact amount. Providence has also prepared a wonderful foundation for it in the mother's womb, so that no stranger might harm it. It tends to its every need like a trained nanny who will not forget it for a moment until it has acquired the strength to emerge into our world. At that time, Providence briefly lends it just enough strength to break the walls that surround it. And like a trained, armed warrior, it breaks an opening and emerges into the world. Then, too, Providence does not abandon it. Like a loving mother, it brings it to such loving, loyal people it can trust, called mother and father, to assist it through its days of weakness until it grows and can sustain itself. As man, so are all the animals, plants, and inanimate. All are wisely and mercifully cared for to ensure their own existence and the continuation of their species. But those who examine that reality from the perspective of provision and persistence of existence can clearly see great disorder and confusion, as though there were no leader and no guidance. Everyone does that which is right in his own eyes, building himself on the ruin of others. The evil thrive and the righteous are trampled mercilessly. Bear in mind that this oppositeness set before the eyes of every sensible, educated person has preoccupied humanity even in ancient times. And there are many methods to explain these two apparent opposites in Providence, which occupy the same world.
Meaning, so what did he talk about here? The contradiction in providence, that there's good providence, bad providence, supposedly negative, positive, and that we are born in it and advance through it, and we constantly try to run from it, but our life leads us through the middle between good and bad, and then when the beginning of our life we have help from our parents, but later on we go more and more and more into our own life where the bad and good things can work on us in such ways that we must deal with them. We have to grow in mind and feeling and force in the environment to grow in such a way that we were forced to grow through all these forms in order to realize the plan of creation upon us. That's it. That's why there's contradictions in the providence. How could it be that providence is good if sometimes it's so bad? And here we still don't understand why we're in this world. We can go out on the street and start asking anybody all over the world. Nobody will know why things are happening in such a way. For what? From where? From the lack of understanding in the providence through these contradictions that are revealed. We are in a complete lack of understanding on what will be. And then we start searching for some kind of anchor. And then we start believing in all kinds of forces or actions of nature, the creator, created being. There are all kinds of gods and so on. It is all because we don't understand providence.
Galil West.
What instruments do we have for research in the spiritual work?
We'll see it in a minute. It's coming in a moment. Hebrew 10.
Bala Sulam writes that Providence has prepared for great foundations that no harm, no stranger will harm him. Parasvalam describes humanity as an embryo in its mother's womb. Is the situation we're seeing right now in the world is like labor pains?
I don't think that what we went through is exactly the mother's womb, but he's saying it in a simple way. Just like a corporeal embryo in his mother's stomach is kept well until it grows and is ready, at least in something in his life to survive, but obviously in complete support on behalf of the parents, that the parents invest and do everything for him. And we see that as much as creation is more complex, it needs a closer taking care of, more faithful, longer. What can you say about when a person is 1 year old or two or three? He can't even survive. But if you're speaking about a chicken that was born or a bird, so here, a few days after it's born, they know exactly what to do. That's why the difference is huge between man and beast. We have to understand, if in a corporeal development we need such a preparation to survive in this world corporeally, so it's a few times more we need time and efforts for spiritual advancement or spiritual development in order to be able to survive in the spiritual world. Much, many, many efforts.
Can I ask who are the parents in this story?
In the corporeal world, it's the ones giving birth. In the spiritual world, also, the system that gives birth.
And do they interfere and influence in the pregnancy?
In spirituality?
I'm asking about spirituality, but I'm trying to connect it to our world.
I don't want to get into this. I want to speak in a simple way that'll be clear. From corporeality, we'll learn about spirituality. Just as we are weak in corporeality, we're even weaker in spirituality. That's why in patience, we need to go in there and integrate in spiritual forces. And it's worth knowing how we can develop there. Otherwise, we will be like abortion or, well, not ready for life, not suitable for life. Please.
Header, first method, nature. This method is an ancient one. Since they did not find a way and an outlet to bring these two evident opposites closer, they came to assume that the Creator, who created all these, who watches mightily over His reality, lest any of it be cancelled, is mindless and senseless. Hence, although He watches over the existence of reality with wondrous wisdom, He Himself is mindless and does all that senselessly. If there had been any reason and feeling in Him, He would certainly not leave such malfunctions in the provision of reality without pity or compassion for the tormented. For this reason, they named Him Nature, meaning a mindless, heartless supervisor. And for this reason, they believe that there is no one to be angry at, pray to, or justify before Him.
That's the first method, the most simple. Just like animals, just us, we too relate to our life in such a way. No questions about that. Second method.
Second method, two authorities. Others were more sophisticated. They found it difficult to accept the premise of nature's supervision, since they saw that the supervision over reality, to secure its existence, is a far deeper wisdom than any human combination. They could not agree that the overseer over all these is himself mindless, for how can one give that which one does not possess? Can one teach one's friend while he himself is a fool? How can you say about he who performs before us such astute and wise deeds that he does not know what he is doing, that he does it by chance, which it is evident that chance cannot arrange any orderly deed devised in wisdom, much less secure its eternal existence? Hence, they came to a second assumption, that there are two supervisors here. One creates and sustains the good, and the other creates and sustains the bad. And they have greatly elaborated that method with evidence and proofs along their way.
We have a problem here, because on one hand we see that everything develops according to laws. If there are laws, so there must be an intention to begin with on behalf of nature that knows how to develop. According to Darwin, the scientific development, so we develop because nature every time finds some kind of form of existence, which is most comfortable, best way, healthiest. But this software, which is in nature, where did that come from? So it turns out that we are in what they say two authorities, that by at least two, then we can say in what way they between them can decide how to exist. The good force, the bad force, plus, minus, no matter what you call and how, but by two forces, we have choice between them. And then they, in that way, advance themselves. It's a very confused method. For many years, people have been engaging in it, but it can't hold because without knowing, the main thing is that by knowing a clear result in nature, in the laws of nature, as much as we study more and more laws, we see it can exist. The whole matter is that we're advancing through years, through generations, and we always change our minds. It's not that we understand more about nature, but we change, and from our changes, we reveal new things in nature. So it turns out that if before it was enough for us to see nature as working in one direction and that's it, developing through one force, so then two forces, and also they aren't understood, because we discover more and more forces that contradict, that are in struggles and arguments between them in all kinds of forms of connection that are complex. So it turns out that we already come to the third method, which is multiple gods.
Third method, multiple gods. This method was born out of the bosom of the method of two authorities. This is because they had divided and separated each of the general actions for itself, meaning strength, wealth, domination, beauty, famine, death, disorder, and so on. They appointed each its own supervisor and expanded the matter as they wished.
Yeah, that since nature has many forces, actions, relations, so everywhere in every case something else works. The truth is that it's also scientific, relatively. Let's say we know about 100 and something fundamentals, atoms, according to the Mendeleev table, the basic materials. So each one works according to its own laws. It's activated according to its own nature. Even more in more global things that are working and exist on the earth or universe, meaning the more we advance through nature, we see there are more and more discernments, private actions, and in each and every one. That's why we can say that everyone has its own laws, and in that way we reach multiple gods. Keep going.
Fifth method.
I don't know why the fourth method is missing. Nobody knows, but that's what he writes. Fifth method.
Fifth method left its operation. Recently, when knowledge increased and they saw the tight linkage among all parts of creation, they recognized the concept of multiple gods to be completely impossible. Thus, the question of the oppositeness sensed in creation reawakened. This led them to a new assumption, that the supervisor of reality is indeed wise and caring. But because of his exaltedness, which is beyond conception, our world is deemed a grain of sand, nothing in his eyes. It is not worthwhile for him to bother with our petty matters, which is why our livelihood is so disordered, and every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Alongside these methods, there existed religious methods of godly unity. But this is not the place to examine them, as I only wanted to examine the origins from which the foul methods of and puzzling assumptions that vastly dominated and expanded at different times and places were taken.
בזמנים ומקומות שונים כידוע.
We find that the basis on which all the above methods were born and emerged is the contradiction between the two types of providence detectable in our world. And all these methods came about only to mend that great rift. Yet nothing is new under the sun. And not only is that great rift not being mended, it grows and expands before us into a terrible chasm without seeing or hoping for a way out of it. When I look at all those attempts that humanity has been making for several thousand years to no avail, I wonder if we should not seek the mending of this great rift from the supervisor's point of view at all, but rather accept that this great correction is in our own hands.
Also here there's no answer yet. He's just saying that there are a lot more methods. The fact that we see that he let go of his creation and working from all kinds of other actions, but the fact that we don't connect ourselves to the upper force, it's clear that from this we get our current state. The current state, we have made religion into some club that if you do it, that's fine. And it's like a social agreement that doesn't obligate us to change ourselves. And it turns out that the world just keeps doing as it does. That we're just used to live in such a way that just let's not disturb each other. That's our attitude towards the upper force. Let us live, we'll let you live, and each and every one to the other. So let's keep going. I don't see that people are so they're waiting for something to the point to be here. Neve, please. Maybe PT6 still. They have a question mark all the time.
What's the difference between the first method, which is nature, and the method of living his operation?
Now we're going to explain it. We're not going to explain it now. Read it a few times and you see. Hebrew 10.
Are these methods something that exists in the nations of the world and the people of Israel?
These methods exist in everybody, in all nations and in us, and in all of us, and through thousands of years. And from these methods also you see that he didn't speak about specific religions, meaning Judaism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, according to the way they grew, how Abraham sent the gifts to the east, to the land of the east, with his disciples. That means India and all those countries. That from there came all kinds of forms of Buddha and so on. Briefly, there are a lot more things, but we don't get there because it doesn't belong to what we want to speak about now. He wants to bring us to a state how the world can reach completion, peace, connection, unity with the upper force. So he wants to show us that there are many kinds of beliefs and religions, and humanity has a great confusion in all this, and a person in any way cannot reach the correct observation of existence if he doesn't get a contact with the upper force, really.
So if I understand correctly, these methods are the infrastructure, the basis of all the culture and everything that exists today.
Yeah.
And Balasaram writes about it so as to explain how to connect the infrastructure to the complete state of peace.
Let's see what he writes. I don't want to limit myself before or tell you in advance. Here, each one can see it's written as much as we're still in a state where we don't know anything. Also about our relation to our life and nature, and even more so to ourselves. We are in a state as if we weren't born yet. We're not in the world of truth where we really exist. It's like an embryo in his mother's stomach. Thinks that that's the whole world. That's how we think that our state that we're in, when we're adults, that this is the whole world. We don't see the world. We don't understand it. That's how it is. PT 25.
Rav,
The children of Israel received the Torah and direct connection with godliness. Can you say that all the other methods serve other people because of the absence of the part called Israel that is in contact with the Creator?
All other methods have scattered and were accepted in humanity to be as a preparation to connect to divinity. It's a preparation for that connection.
So the minute the people of Israel is in contact, if there is such a connection between this part of humanity and the Creator, will other methods be cancelled, or what happens to them?
They don't cancel, just the people of Israel start supplying the whole world with the only method there is. Just as he writes at the end of the introduction to the book of Zohar, everybody has to publish the method of Kabbalah. It's not religion, it's not Judaism, it's not Islam or Christianity. It's knowing divinity in practice. That the rest of the methods don't speak about knowing divinity. They are speaking about a way that in any form can you, living in this world, can like complement the upper force. Not more than that. That's the purpose of religion, according to your methods. Their method. But according to our method, it's knowing divinity, which is equal for all. There's some that come first, some that come later. But knowing and revealing divinity, connection, dvikut, for everyone.
It seems like in the absence of a part that connects, humanity needs some connection with godliness, and that's why they get confused, and they do all kinds of things and invent all kinds of methods to have some contact with godliness in the absence of the real part.
That's correct. It still comes through the nature of humanity.
So they want contact, and all those methods are a way to express connection that humanity wants, although they can't obtain it correctly, but it's humanity's desire to connect with godliness. Can you define the whole world as like this?
Yes, correct.
Thank you.
He explains it also in a different way, in the essence of a religion and its purpose. He has a lot about that. New York 4.
Rav, it's a real wonder. What does it mean that the Creator made only one Bala Sulam? He made only one person to give the method to all of humanity.
First of all, as far as I know, Bala Sulam is not one. He came as a result of generations over generations of Kabbalists, thousands of people, all of whom engaged in knowing godliness and in building that system all together, on top of which Bala Sulam stood and attained onward and was able to express it. But do you know how many people came before him? Even in the same generation when he lived, how many people were studying and doing preparations for it? It's not like someone jumps in the desert and does it. He is a result of generations of generations of Kabbalists. Without all those who wrote before him, would he be able to do anything? Even if he has the highest soul, so what? Books. There are books, there's a method, there are shemot that were revealed in the whole Kli, through wars and problems and scrutinies. And then someone rises like the Ari and opens up this whole thing. Then Bala Sulam comes 500 years after the Ari and opens up the world. Each one engaged in more progressed, more advanced development. Yes?
It's clear that everything you give us comes from Rabash. But today, you are the only person, is one person giving all of humanity the method. It's a wonder that is one person for all of humanity.
I too don't know why I was privileged with this work of having to pass it on to you. I have no idea. Rabash said a few words about it, but it didn't explain it. There are such people who are committed to it. They're obligated to do this. So what? You see how I maintain myself. There's nothing special here that belongs, that has to do with me. It's just given to a person, then he does it. To a Kabbalist, it's 100% clear that he does not attribute his role to himself whatsoever, only to the Creator, and that's it. You may not believe me, but I would happily pass it on to someone else. As much as I appreciate these things and all, after all, they do come from the Creator and everything. But if there were someone who could take it on, I would have no problem giving it away. That's how it feels like it doesn't belong to the individual, but it is truly just a foreign duty. That's what it is. Well, this doesn't belong to us. We've been sidetracked here. So let's move on to the third part.
We'll go to the next part of the lesson and sing a song first. מתחברים אל המקור בפרו ואקוודור זורם נהר של אהבה בין אילת לערבה ברור שאין עוד מלבדו בליסבון ובבורדו ושהותו וגם מיטיב בניו יורק ותל אביב Around the world a ray of light is calling people to unite Igniting all the points inside Endless love will be our guide Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Kazakhstan, Sibir and Krim Дышит воздухом одним, устремление едино от Москвы до Сахалина, от Чикаго до Читы, от Литвы до Алматы, от Сиднея до Берлина, от Парижа до Пекина. Around the world a ray of light is calling people to unite. Igniting all the points inside Endless love will be our guide Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Mire lo que sucedió en Japón y Kazajstán Se abren los cielos también en Moscú y Jerusalén Más ciudades y naciones, más hermanos y uniones Grandes olas de amor, solo un clic, un corazón Around the world a ray of light Is calling people to unite Igniting all the points inside And
His love will be our guide above our place and beyond time. A new humanity will shine.